open session. In the executive session, the board took no action that required a vote in open session, but the board did discuss President Watson's tenure as president, and the board unanimously affirms its support of the president going forward. One action item, the election of the 2013 board officers.
Mr. Chairman, at this time, the board should open this office up for nominations to serve as chairman. After nomination is made and a second to that nomination is also made, then the nominations are closed, and then at that time the vote actually occurs by secret ballot, and then I will read the results of the vote.
All right. Is there a nomination for chairman of the board?
I would nominate Trustee Young.
Second? I'll second.
Trustee Young is then nominated for chairman of the board.
Are there any other nominations for chairman of the board?
Yes, I nominate Trustees Bishop Horsman.
Is there a second?
Is there a second to the nomination of Trustee Smith as president, as chairman? There is not a second to the nomination, so it will fail. Then it's appropriate, Mr. Chairman, to close the nominations.
Okay, nominations for chairman of the board are now closed.
And I will circulate the ballot momentarily.
We vote now?
Thank you.
Oh, yes, it's a ballot. Mainly health issues, but also pastor at church. Because I've been heavily involved in the community, and I'm an alumnus of Chicago State. My first degree in that is in education. I'm an educator.
Oh, that's right.
Both of my degrees are. And I taught his name, and I worked in admissions.
Mr. Chairman, the vote was unanimous, 6-0 in favor of Trustee Young as chairman.
I'm sorry.
The vote was 6-0 in favor of the election of Trustee Young as chairman. Congratulations, Trustee Young. Trustee Young, as chairman, do you want to call for nominations for the office of vice chairman?
I hand this over to you, sir.
Nominations are open for the office of vice chairman of the Board of Trustees. Are there any nominations?
Nominations for vice chairman.
I would respectfully nominate Trustee Joyce.
I second the nomination.
Trustee Joyce is nominated and properly seconded. He stands in nomination. Are there any other nominations for the office of vice chairman? Hearing none, it is closed. We will circulate the ballot. Mr. Chairman, the vote is unanimous, 6-0. Trustee Joyce is elected vice chairman of the board. Mr. Vice Chairman, at this time you might open the nominations for the office of secretary of the board.
Is there a nomination for secretary of the board? Do I hear a motion?
I nominate Trustee Curtin.
I'll second that nomination.
Trustee Curtin was nominated and properly seconded. Are there any other nominations for secretary of the board? We'll close the nominations and we'll circulate the ballot.
For you, but I
Mr. Chairman, with a vote of 6-0, Trustee Curtin is elected to the office of Secretary to the Board. Well, that concludes for the election of officers, Mr. Chairman.
Do we have to approve that?
Yep. Page 4.
Page 4.
Is there a motion to approve the election of 2013 board officers of the Board of Trustees?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Trustee Joyce?
We're going to do a roll call.
Yeah. Trustee Joyce? Trustee Curtin?
Yes.
Trustee Leak?
Yes.
Trustee Smith?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Sanchez?
Yes.
We'll start the meeting with the approval of the minutes from the March 1, 2013 special board meeting. Are there any comments or corrections to the minutes of that meeting? There are no comments or correction. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I so move, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Curtin?
Yes.
Trustee Leak?
Yes.
Trustee Smith?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Sanchez?
Yes.
Okay. We're ready for reports. Will the Chairman of Academic and Student Affairs begin his report? Or did I skip the President's
report?
Yeah, President's report.
Before we do that, we'll have the President's report.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, and congratulations on your new chair. I want to welcome the newest members of our Board of Trustees, Mr. Spencer Lee and Dr. Horace Smith, both of whom are CSU alumni. I also want to take a moment to thank Judge Young, Chief Joyce, and Mr. Curtin for their continued service to the university. And of course, Ms. Stephanie Sanchez, who as a student trustee effectively represents the students of CSU with grace and sophistication. The Board of Trustees is an integral part of the university governance. As the Association of Governing Boards of Universities and Colleges outlines in its statement on board responsibilities, boards are accountable for the mission and heritage of their institutions and the transcendent values that guide and shape higher education. They are equally accountable to the public and to their institution's legitimate constituents. They partner with the president, senior leadership, faculty, and staff to achieve the mission, sustain core operations, and attain strategic priorities in the institution. I know I speak for the entire CSU family when I say to the boards, input is invaluable, and as we work to achieve the university's strategic goals and fulfill its mission. It would not be an understatement to say that the past few months have had their share of challenges. However, in the midst of these challenges, I am proud to say that the overwhelming majority of the administration, staff, faculty were never distracted from our core mission of teaching, research, and community service. Each day, the CSU community has continued its work to foster the intellectual development and success of our students, and I remain humble and proud to play a role in leading that effort. Yesterday, as you are aware, we celebrated the achievement of over 800 CSU graduates at our university. It was our 352nd commencement ceremony. As of today, our first time full-time graduation rate, it remains steady at 21%. It should be noted that that is up from 14% in 2009. That is a 50% increase. As you know, CSU is unique among public universities in that we cater to a larger than normal amount of transfer students. Our six-year graduation rate for full-time transfer students is currently 41.9%. Where there has been improvement in our success rate, we are far from satisfied. Some institutional challenges we face were not created overnight and will take a continued effort to address. We continue to move forward with the implementation of the university's strategic plan. My future presidential report will revolve around the whole concept of our strategic plan. Articulation of the plan is driven by the program measurement and effectiveness process, also known as PME, which aligns program planning, assessment, and budget planning. The PME steering committee, comprised of a small dynamic group of faculty and administrator, leads this strategic effort, helping to ensure that the university community remains focused as we execute the vision, goals, objectives, and measures of our strategic plan. The PME unit facilitators are a unique group of faculty and staff. They provide the functional leadership at the departmental level to ensure PME process is successful. This is our strategic plan. This is what guides us from day to day, week to week, month to month, and where are we going with our university. Chicago State continues to engage students in research. Earlier this month, CSU student researchers Mark Wesowski, Diana Carrasco, and Angela Biggins Longwood, along with their professors, Dr. Cynthia Valenciano, Dr. Timothy Harrington, and Dr. Miguel Fernandez, received awards at the Center for Scholastic Inquiry International Academic Research Conference in Scottsdale, Arizona, for their paper entitled Rural Field Experience with Urban Pre-Service Teachers. Once again, Professor Edmundo Garcia, who I see in the audience, is taking students to the CERN. And this year, it's my understanding, we're taking four students. We're doubling the number of students that we're taking to the CERN. And for our new members, the CERN is located in Switzerland.
Been there.
It is. I noticed it. I have to acknowledge that, and I had to hesitate. Yes, sir.
Been there.
So the CERN is located in Switzerland, and it is the largest nuclear reactor in Europe. Please correct me, doctor. Is that correct?
It's the largest nuclear laboratory.
Nuclear laboratory in Europe. Over 102 universities take students to the CERN each year. It's for a 6-week to 8-week period of time. Of the 102 universities, only two universities throughout the entire United States are allowed to bring undergraduate students to do this in-depth research. Only two. We, CSU, are one of the two universities that is allowed to bring undergraduate students to do this in-depth research for a 6 to 8 week period of time. And so last year we took, so we're doubling the number of students that we're taking. I now want to touch very briefly on the fact that we have a number of major potential funding opportunities. Following a recent visit from the Honorable Dot Harris, the Director of the U.S. Department of Energy, Office of Economic Impact and Diversity, the university was invited to prepare a proposal outlining possible contributions that CSU could make to help the department meet its objectives of addressing the nation's needs in energy and environment. To this end, and with the support of Congressman Bobby Rush, a proposal was submitted that outlined the development of two potential ventures between CSU and two small business enterprises that could then pursue subcontracts from DOE for small and disadvantaged businesses. One of these projected joint ventures is the Center for Alternative Energy. Proposed research projects related to the development of biofuels, solar cells, and fuel cells. The other proposed venture, the Institute for Innovation and Computer Science, proposed projects addressing network security, cyber, and informational security. Another point that we wanted to touch on is that we are, by the end of this year, we are strengthening our infrastructure with regards to information technology. The CSU Information Technology Division is currently working to make much-needed improvements, upgrades to the university's IT infrastructure, including replacing the switch gears in all university buildings, installing high-speed fiber, and redesigning university local area network. The improvements are expected to be finished by June 30th, 2013. This will be a much welcomed change within the university. We currently are operating in about a 1990 infrastructure, and within the next 2 months, we will literally move to the second decade of the 21st century when it comes to our IT infrastructure for the university. We expect the completion, another point is we expect the completion of our new CSU baseball stadium within the next 2 weeks. Board members, if you get a chance, I think you would love to take a look at it. Trustee Curtin, I think you will be pleasantly pleased at what you're going to see.
Mr. President, I assume that I'm going to be allowed to throw out the first ball.
That's baseball.
We will ask for a volunteer who wants to be the catcher.
That's great.
Shared accountability. The last comment is one of the recommendations of the final report of the HLC comprehensive site visit team was to improve communications between the various university constituents. The university is required to submit a monitoring report in 2014 describing the efforts taken to enhance communications at CSU. Examples of these efforts include the following. We reconstituted the expansion of the HLC steering committee. We have annual program measurement and effectiveness initiatives. We are going forth with the Noel Levitz Employee Satisfaction Survey and related workshops. We have a university shared governance working group. And the last one is representation from the various universities' constituents on campus-wide committees. As you can tell, there's a great deal happening at our university based upon the mission, strategic plan, and performance measurement components. I believe that the CSU board, administration, faculty, and students continue to move in the right direction. I believe we have the right plan in place and many of the talented people we need in place. I also believe we have renewed focus on academic integrity, financial accountability that better prepares CSU for future success. Now it is our responsibility to execute, and I, my team, my faculty, and staff are working daily to ensure that we do exactly that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. President. We're now ready for the committee reports. We'll start with Academic and Student Affairs. Trustee Joyce.
Under Academic and Student Affairs, I make a motion for an approval of the previous meeting minutes. Is there a second?
Second.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Curtin?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Leak?
Yes.
Trustee Smith?
Present.
Trustee Chances?
Yes. Are there any comments or corrections to the minutes? We'll move on. We're going to hear from the Office of the Provost, and presenting on behalf of the Provost will be Dr. Deborah Jefferson. Doctor, will you share the good news with us, please?
Good morning. The Provost is out of town, and she had left her report. You have it in front of you, and there are a number of activities that the faculty have engaged in over the last period since you last met. We've had a number of presentations. The president alluded to one or two of them. Chair people and students alike and deans have engaged in research activities that they're submitting for grants, national publications and presentations. The president did mention the Higher Learning Commission. We have received that report, and that a committee has been established. Some of the people from the original steering committee are there, but it is an integrated committee that engages both the faculty and the administration in this endeavor. We'll have a monitoring report coming up in 2014. This is a standard procedure with the Higher Learning Commission, and we're already starting to write on it, even though we haven't gotten the final report back, but we know we will be doing a monitoring report, which, as I said, is standard. On today's agenda, we have a need for you making a decision on a Professor Emeritus. We have one faculty member who has retired, Dr. Esther Jenkins, a professor of psychology, and she has done a number of things, co-authored 28 types of articles, 20 refereed journals, 6 book chapters. She has been instrumental in leading us with our institutional review board, the IRB, which all human subjects have to have federal guidance and approval and authorization for approving anything, and there's a committee of community people as well as faculty who sit on this. Anyway, the resolution you should have in front of you, and I don't know whether I need to read the recommendation or the resolution. Okay, so that is an action item that you will need to address. And in addition, we do have 9 faculty members who are been approved by their faculty, by their department chairs, the dean, and a university-wide panel for tenure. Their names are listed and their departments. Do I need to read those names either? Okay, they're all in there, and there's the recommendation for that. And that concludes the report.
Are there any questions or comments from other board members? I would make a motion then to approve the resolution for emeritus status for Professor Dr. Esther Jenkins. Is there a second?
Second.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Curtin?
Yes.
Trustee Lake?
Yes.
Trustee Smith?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
And Trustee Sanchez?
Yes.
Okay, exclude. Okay, I'll do it again. Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Curtin?
Yes.
Trustee Leake?
Yes.
Trustee Smith?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
For the record, Mr. Chairman, the student trustee cannot vote on tenure recommendations. Or emeritus status. So at this point, we would need a resolution on the tenure status.
A motion to approve the resolution for tenure status.
Second.
Where is that?
It's under resolutions.
What do we just vote on?
Emeritus status. Emeritus.
First resolution was emeritus status for Dr. Jenkins. Second one is.
Yeah. I got it. I'm clear on it now, trustee. Tenure. Thank you. Okay.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Curtin?
Yes.
Trustee Leake?
Yes.
Trustee Smith?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Doctor. where I believe we're going to get a report on the Higher Learning Commission update.
Dr. Musial isn't here, but there is a report in, should be in your packet, that there will be a meeting with HLC May 20th and 21st, at which time there should be some action by the Institutional Action Committee. And we should know after that as to whether or not we have been granted the full accreditation. Right now, everything is still in the pending status.
Okay.
And
thank you, Dr. Jefferson. And I will comment that Dr. Paul Musial gave a brief presentation. His committee and all of you people should be commended for the great work you did. This is really great news for the university. We will receive extended accreditation.
Yes, the anticipation is that it will be for a full 10 years.
That's great news. Thank you.
When will you know for sure?
Well, the meeting is the 20th, 21st, so I'm sure that they will either email us or contact us immediately thereafter. We have already received the final report and have looked at it, and there were no changes that we would make to it and had sent it back, and that's what they're going to be looking at.
Excellent news.
Well done.
Okay, thank you.
That's good.
Dr. Angela Henderson?
Wait a minute.
That'll get us up to speed on what's going on with enrollment management.
Thank you, Trustee Joyce. Good morning, Chairman, President, Trustees, CSU staff and guests. For the record, I am Angela Henderson, Vice President of Enrollment Management and Student Affairs. I'd like to just briefly state that the focus and mission of enrollment management is to ensure that we enhance our enrollment retention and graduation metrics of the students at the university. In addition to that, we work on the image of the university as well as student life. The departments are enrollment-related services, which are comprised of admissions, financial aid, and the registrar's office. And then we also have a compliance person. We have institutional effectiveness and research, the first year experience for freshmen and transfer students, integrated marketing and communications, public relations, outreach, and student affairs. Sabrina Landau, who is our director of marketing, is showing right now our website. And then also, I wanted to show the homepage because we ensure that we keep our homepage current and have relevant stories on our faculty and our students, as well as staff news for the entire university. In addition to that, our director of public relations, Mr. Tom Wogan, is present. This is his first board meeting. He is integrally important because not only does he work on internal communication within the university, he is responsible for external communications and is working on a crisis communications plan as well with our chief of police and our director of marketing to ensure that we are prepared for any crisis. this quarter, and then in front of you I have a fact book, particularly for the new board members. This is our fact book that comes out of our institutional effectiveness and research area. It has all the data that you hopefully may need on our student body over the last 10 years. So it has the enrollment figures, the retention figures, and it also has completion figures, particularly around each department. So you can find out how many students graduated from criminal justice over the last 5 years, how many students were enrolled. All that information is in here. Every university is required to have a fact book. We try to enhance it and make it relevant for our external population. It is online, as well as we keep copies for people who may need them in our departments. So I think it'll be a good document for you to reference. In addition to that, I have another update, the counselor update, which is in front of you. Recently, we hosted all the counselors from CPS, and this is something that we keep current for the high school so that if the counselors have any information about what's going on at the university, what type of degrees we offer, you know, the information that counselors need in order to, you know, promote the university or talk about Chicago State University within the high schools, then they have that information. So I'll start with our African-American Male Resource Center. We have an African-American Male Resource Center that we utilize as a retention initiative. So we have over 1,000 African-American males, and we have a director of the program, Mr. Ronald Harris. Over this last quarter, we really focused on ensuring that students got whatever academic support they needed in order to complete the term. We had a TV host, Jonathan Slocum, of Magic Johnson's new Aspire TV network out to talk to our students. And he spoke to about 30 to 50 of our African-American male students on March 22nd about career aspirations and completing college, particularly our students in our communications department. From our compliance perspective, we are working very hard to address our previous audit findings in enrollment management, as well as look at implementation of the corrective action plans that we have put in place over the last couple of years. We have a director of compliance, an attorney, LaShondra Peebles, and she actually does the training as well as ensures that the professional skills are, that our staff has have the skills that they need to handle Title IV compliance or to handle any of the admissions standards required by the state so that we are in compliance at all times. Our goal is not to have any audit findings in the enrollment management department. And over the last year, we have seen them decrease. We went from 11, I think, when I first started. This is my second year, and we had five in our entire division. So we feel that we have made improvements, and we want to continue to do that. From a counseling perspective, we have a counseling department for our students that is a support department. They are all clinical psychologists with PhDs, and they're all clinical psychologists. Some have PhDs, but their responsibility is to provide counseling and support to all students on campus, and it's one of our busiest departments. And our students, recently, the department sponsored an alcohol and drug campus violence presentation, particularly supporting our students with disabilities. We had a nice turnout. Our students really appreciate it. And our abilities department is also a part of that counseling department, and they've worked very hard to support students who may need additional behavioral support in addition to their academic support while they're on campus. From an enrollment-related services perspective, our admissions department is working with academic affairs to ensure that we have a degree audit system that's automated. So if a student comes in and from the beginning and they say that they want to major in psychology, then all that information is automated, and they work with their advisor, and they can do a degree audit at the beginning or at any time. They can put their information in and see how many courses they need in order to complete that particular major so that they can be as efficient as possible when they are pursuing their degree. As I stated, we had the counselors out. In April, we had a wonderful partnership with them. They come at least once a year to learn more about CSU, in addition to the principals and the assistant principals. And so we had our admissions team and our enrollment management team hosting them, and they as usual, they stated that they continue to learn more about Chicago State University. We also had a peer-to-peer education program this quarter that we did a train-the-trainer information session with student government affairs. And student government worked with students who were preparing to register for the next term for the summer and the fall term. And we found that students tend to listen to other students when it comes to learning about how to matriculate through the university in a seamless way. So we had about 1,600 students who were touched in that way, and we appreciate student government, our student trustee, and all the departments who participated in that particular event. Then finally, under enrollment-related services, we are focused on automation. We've recently automated our admissions application. It used to be on paper. We've automated withdrawal forms. We're trying to ensure that students, you know, students aren't here 24 hours. So if students are at home, they should be able to take care of business at any time. And so we will continue to partner with our chief information officer and other departments to focus on technology. From an institutional effectiveness and research perspective, I would like to report that we have three members of our institutional research department who will be presenting in the next couple of weeks at the AIR conference. It's a national conference for researchers in higher education. They will present on three topics. One will be Black male success in higher education. The other one is effects of the registration date on enrollment, retention, and graduation. We actually have looked at the data and have analyzed that when students register, the later students register, the more likely they are to not be successful in that particular term. And then finally, they will be focused on best practices and using online surveys. Our Latino Resource Center, which has about 300 students in total who are active in that center under our director, recently had a graduation dinner or end of the year dinner this Tuesday. And what's important to note is they honored over 30 students who had GPAs of 3.7 or higher this term. They also honored their graduates as well as students who participated in the mentoring program. That is another one of our retention initiatives for our minority students on campus. And it was very endearing to see parents and students here in the evening celebrating one another's accomplishments at the university. From a marketing and communications perspective, we participated in the Southside Irish Parade on March 10th. We had faculty, trustees, and students and staff present at that parade. Over the year, we participate in a number of cultural parades to really not only represent Chicago State University, but to support our students who are a part of different cultures and the community and want to take part in those activities. We are preparing to launch our new marketing campaign, which will focus on faculty, staff, and students over the next year. And at the June meeting, before the June meeting, we will send that information out so that you can see it before it actually starts to hit the streets over the next year. And so in conclusion, we're really working hard to focus on enrollment, retention, graduation, compliance, and communication. And if you have any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Any questions by trustees? Okay, hearing none. Thank you, Dr. Henderson.
Thank you, Trustee Joyce.
This concludes the report of the Academic and Student Affairs Committee.
Our next committee report is from Finance and Audit. That committee does not have a chair at this time, so I'll handle the committee for today. The first item will be approval of the minutes. Are there any comments or corrections to the minutes from the last Finance and Audit Committee board meeting on March 8th?
No.
Hearing no comments or correction, is there a motion to approve the minutes?
So made.
A second?
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Curtin?
Yes.
Trustee Leake?
Yes.
Trustee Smith?
Present.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Sanchez?
Yes.
Mr. Pinkerton.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Vice Chairman, Mr. Secretary. Congratulations on your appointments. Welcome to the Board of Trustees. Mr. President, I'd like to welcome you to Chicago State and thank you for taking your time out today. I just have a couple of quick comments relative to updating you on the financial function for the university. I will defer to Farah to make a couple of comments later in the morning about budget updates that are coming out of Springfield. Process-wise, the university is in very good shape in terms of where we're at in the budget process. We have actually initiated, the VPs have initiated submissions into the university budget committee, and then from there, a prioritization has been made to the point where we are now positioned to make a recommendation to the president for fiscal year 14 budget request. I expect that to take place sometime over the next couple of weeks. Beyond that, the university has also initiated their fiscal year 13 audit. We did have an entrance exam, an entrance conference last Tuesday, and so we do have auditors on site, and requests have also started to flow downstream, and we're in the process of responding to those questions in a very timely and efficient facet, of course. Okay, I'm going to ask Chad Villacruces, our chief accountant, to pull up our cash position, and I'm going to review this very briefly. Okay, if I can ask you to turn your attention to one of the screens. We've got approximately $24 million in the bank currently. With unrestricted cash, the total is approximately $6.3 million. These are unrestricted funds that are, restricted funds, rather, that are actually in separate funds and are intended for the purpose, as you see here. Based on the current restricted cash balance of $6.3 million, we've got net unrestricted cash of approximately $18.3 million. Short-term cash projection, you can see we've got approximately $17.5 million coming in over the next 90 days. Based on our projected expenditures, covering our payroll, student disbursements, making provision for our vendor payments and P-card payments, we've got total expenditures projected at $29.5 million, which leaves us a balance of approximately $6.3 million. If I were going to characterize the university's cash position at this stage of the game, I would say it's adequate. It's not great, but it is adequate to meet our ongoing business operations. Scanning down, looking at where we stand with the state appropriation, based on our fiscal year 13 budget of $37.1 million, we received year-to-date $19.2 million from the state. That translates into 52% of our state appropriation. Section C, we can see that we have actually billed the state for $34.5 million, which represents 93% of our state appropriation, and then the difference being the balance which is due from the state, $17.9 million, which translates into 48%. So we do have ongoing efforts to engage the state to try to get them to expedite their payments to us, and those efforts will continue.
I have a question. In terms of those payments from the state, are we at about the same rate of payment from the state, 52%, or is it going slower this year, faster this year? How does that compare with what usually happens?
The where we're at in the process now is in fact comparable to prior years. Last year it was the month of November before we had been completely trued up from the prior year state appropriations. So it generally takes 5 to 6 months before the state finalizes all the payments from the previous fiscal year. So to the extent that we're, almost close to the end of the fiscal year and we've got about half, that puts us on right about par with prior experience.
Mr. Chairman, is it appropriate for a question now?
Sorry.
And I was intrigued about that. So the state payment is based on a calendar year, or is it based on a billing system? I'm trying to understand what should we expect to be at this point? You relate to the historical issue of last year.
Yes.
What should we expect to be now if we are on target?
Okay, so the state appropriates, a budget to the university every fiscal year. In a perfect world, if the state were completely solvent and their cash flow were completely matching their projections and they were able to meet all their obligations on a timely basis, we would receive 12 months of our appropriation in the fiscal year that it was intended to be.
Mm-hmm.
But because the state is having their own fiscal challenges, they're managing their cash flow, and unfortunately, that yields a slowness of payment to us. Okay, so we have to manage our cash in such a way that we compensate for that slowness.
And do we anticipate, based on historical data, that even though they're behind schedule, do they eventually catch up?
Yes,
at the end
yes.
of the fiscal year, and
where? That was the comment I stated earlier, that last year, it was November, we were in the month of November before the state made the final payment from fiscal year 12's appropriation.
I see.
So we will get our money, it's just a matter of when. Are there other questions concerning our cash position?
The only other point, Trustee, that I would like to make is that all other universities are experiencing the same thing. So this is not a CSU phenomenon.
Okay.
So the all U of I, Southern Illinois, they are all in the rear.
Yes. Okay, at this time I'd like to invite Mr. Ted Lannon to join me at the table. Ted Lannon is our controller, and he's going to briefly review our financial statements.
Good morning, trustees and all present.
Thank you, sir.
Again, my name is, for the record, Ted Lannon, the Director of Accounting Controller. We're passing out for you right now a copy of the financial statements that I'm going over. In the first page is the balance sheet. I'm just going to focus in on the major variances here. The cash, again, following on Mr. Pinkleton's presentation there, the cash is actually down about $6 million this year. This, again, is March 31 of 2013 compared to March 31 of 2012, 9 months of the fiscal year. So we're down by that, and the next item underneath there, state receivables, is directly related. As you can see, the receivable is up about $6 million, again, related to the monies that were due to receive from the state. I'm going to jump down here to the liabilities section, and the major item there is the deferred revenue. The variance, an increase of $6.2 million. This is due to four state construction grant deposits. The Capital Development Board, or CDB as we call it, they, in certain instances, they give us the money up front for the university to manage and pay for projects. So these are monies that, until we actually pay out these monies to the vendors who do the construction, their liabilities on our books. So that's again related to these four major ones. I'm just going to go to the bottom there. The total fund equity, it's down about $2 million from a year ago. The main thing here is lower enrollment and lower overall revenues to date this year compared to last year. I'll go over to the next page here, to the income statement, and then if anybody has any questions, we can go back. The first main item here is the appropriations. Our appropriations are a bit less this year, but this line item here is a function of what's been billed to date. So we are down about about $2 million. And part of that is the timing of our submission to the state, to bill the state. The next one there is the student tuition and fees. That is down 2.7, again, related to the enrollment. I'm gonna go to the grants and contracts. And here we have a decrease of $4.8 million. Primarily, it's in five grants, mainly the Pell grant, which the formula or the amount of Pell awarded was changed, I believe, about a year ago. And then, of course, the enrollment. The Pell is something that about 90% of our students would be eligible to receive. Now I'm going to go down to the capital grants and appropriations. There's a decrease of 1.1. That's last year there were more CDB projects that were being completed by this time. Again, that changes from year to year. And that's an item that it's a revenue on one side and it's expense on the other side. Now I'm going to go down to the expenditures here. The main one that stands out is the student services. That's a decrease of about $3 million, which is primarily related to the decrease in Pell of about $3.7 million with some offsets that reduce that. And the next major item is the capital grants and appropriation. Again, that relates to what I said above on the revenue side. The decrease of 1.1 is a function of what projects the CDB did this year versus last year. So overall, the bottom line here, and I would say that this is still rather preliminary until we complete the fiscal year. We have an incomplete picture, but we're down about $11 million overall, but there could be significant changes to that between now and the end of the year. Are there any questions?
Yeah, I have a question. Under liabilities on the front page, that deferred revenue, which you say is due to Forest State construction grants not yet spent.
Right.
Are there time frames on those construction grants, or is there any possibility of losing the money if it's not spent?
No, we're not at risk of losing the money. It's merely a function of how quickly we can line up the vendors that are going to do the work and how quickly the project proceeds. So no, there's no danger of us. But we are required to show it as a liability until the projects are completed and we fully earn those revenues.
Just to piggyback on that, administration and finance engages the facilities leadership on a weekly basis, and there is active management of all construction projects on campus, and so there's virtually no time that we would lose funding as a result of not being able to complete it on time. Again, it's a very hands-on operation.
The $9 million you spoke about, we're down. Are we expected during the course of this fiscal year to recoup some of those funds?
You're speaking about the bottom line?
Yeah.
Total.
Mm-hmm.
I would expect that we're going to be down from last year. I mean, I don't expect our net assets, change in net assets, it's called in the governmental accounting. I don't believe it'll be quite as robust as it was last year, but I do expect that it'll be in the positive territory.
Are there other questions for the controller?
Yeah, I have a question. I'm a little bit concerned about the last response. So we're down 35% projected. The bottom line figure on about $11 million is about
right.
35%.
Right.
That's a big number.
It is a big number, and if you look at all of the revenues in the top section up there, you'll see that, like the appropriations, it's about $2 million negative, tuition and fees, 2.7, 4.9 or 4.8 rather on the grants and contracts. So there is a downward trend. I think there's still a good chance that, again, we'll end up in the black. I can tell you that 3 years ago in FY09, we did that before the present administration, there was a negative change in net assets. Since that time, there has been a positive change in net assets each year. And it looks to me like we still are likely to have a positive change. It just won't be as strong as it was. And again, it's not just one factor, it's a number of factors. The more grants we receive and the more revenues that we can make on grants, that helps our bottom line. The more enrollment we have, or if we increase the tuition, these are all factors that can impact that. And the appropriation from the state. And the appropriations have tended downward over the past several years.
just to expound on that a little bit further, I think we need to recognize that what you see in front of you here is a snapshot. It's a point in time. And so as we push through the year-end close process, a lot of this unfavorability that appears through 9 months of the year will, in fact, evaporate. Other questions for the controller? Okay, thank you, Ted. Trustees, you have in front of you three resolutions, one for room and board, one for the College of Pharmacy tuition increase, and a third for a commitment fee that would be established for the university. Are there any questions concerning any of these resolutions?
Why don't we take them one at a time?
Okay, we can do that. The room and board increase is being brought forth to assist the housing operation, not only deal with current infrastructure issues, but also position themselves for some increases, some enhancements in technology going forward. In your packet, you will see a chart which gives you some perspective around how Chicago State compares to other state institutions. You'll see, based on fiscal year 12, we had brought forth a 5% increase in the room and board rates, and that put us at number 7 in the state. In fiscal year 13, we basically held the rate flat. We dropped to the 9th position in terms of cost for room and board in the state. And then as we transition to a projection into fiscal year 14, we're asking a 3% increase, and that will allow us to retain our number 9 ranking. So we would be the 9th cheapest room and board within all state institutions in the state of Illinois. Are there questions on this resolution?
If there are no questions or comments, do I hear a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Curtin?
Yes.
Trustee Leak?
Yes.
Trustee Smith?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Sanchez? Yes.
Moving on to the second resolution, the College of Pharmacy. College of Pharmacy is bringing forth a request to increase their tuition rates by 4.5%. Looking at the synopsis of the resolution that's in front of you, you'll see that in the second to last bullet point, this is consistent with institutions that are bringing forth a 4 to 10% increase in tuition for this fiscal year. So the College of Pharmacy would like to recommend a increase of 4.5% for their tuition. Are there any questions?
How does that, how do we compare with other state universities who have pharmacy programs as far as tuition goes?
In terms of the dollar amount or the percentage increase?
Dollar amount.
I would need to defer to somebody on the academic side who might be able to answer that question.
Dean
Mobley Smith, excellent.
Who is our competition?
University of Illinois.
It's gotta be. For the record, Mary Mobley Smith, Dean of the College of Pharmacy. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'll answer both of those questions. At this time, we are the lowest tuition of all of the public and private colleges and schools of pharmacy in the state. We offer a quality education at an affordable rate. Last year, we kept our tuition flat in keeping with that. But because of changes and needs in curriculum assessment and so on, we're forced to request this increase. And your second question?
Competition. Who's our competition?
Oh, competition. Mm-hmm. Well, it depends on what you mean by that question. If it's a matter of the other schools in the state of Illinois in terms of where we pull from our students, obviously the University of Illinois at Chicago is a big competitor. Then we're talking about Midwestern University, Chicago College of Pharmacy out in Downers Grove. As a note with UIC, they also now have a satellite campus up in Rockford. So their enrollment now is somewhere around 220. Midwestern is around 220. We still remain at 90, and it's a very comfortable number. We're able to give the one-on-one touch points, as I call it, with our students, and so it's good. There's also Roosevelt University College of Pharmacy out in Schaumburg. They're now 2 years old. There's Rosalind Franklin University College of Pharmacy up in North Chicago. They opened a couple of years ago. And then Southern University Edwardsville downstate. Right.
It was really interesting to see the number of graduates we had yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's just
sizable
it
number.
Warms your heart.
Yeah,
we had 77 last year, 81 this year, and projected now 89 next year. So they're doing wonderful things. We have a number of them that secured postgraduate positions, which are highly competitive across the country. And as far as I know, pretty much all of them are now employed.
That's best news. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Dean,
yes.
Of all doctoral pharmacy schools, where are we ranked in terms of diversity?
As far as diversity, we are 11th in the country. Out of now it's 129 colleges and schools of pharmacy in terms of underrepresented minority enrollment. Not too shabby for being 5 years out of the starting block.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Do we have a motion to approve the resolution for a pharmacy tuition increase?
So move.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Curtin?
Yes.
Trustee Leak?
Yes.
Trustee Smith?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Sanchez?
They didn't have a second for that motion.
Yeah, there was a second.
The final resolution coming out of Administration and Finance is for a commitment fee. This fee is intended to assist the university in tracking and identifying the level of enrollment that will be put in place for the fall semester. The idea is to give enrollment management a more concrete way to estimate what their enrollment will actually be, and this will help us facilitate our projections with tuition and revenue going forward. Are there any questions concerning this resolution?
Is there a difference between a commitment fee and a registration fee?
Yes.
Well, do we have a registration fee?
We have a registration fee. That's $25, and that's when the registration fee is when the student actually goes online to register. Right. The commitment fee is in line with other universities, and it is for the student to actually commit to the university by May 1st, so that we can get them registered in the summer, like all other universities do, and get them prepared to go to school in August. I share with you in our committee meeting that most of our students walk in the door in August to register, complete financial aid, and get ready for school. At the university, most universities mandate that you commit by May 1st. That's national date, you know, by May 1st. You commit to them so that they can prepare their freshman class, and they know the students who will be enrolling.
So when the student sends in an application, they pay $25 registration fee.
No, they actually have an application fee. So all universities, when you send in your application, you do an application fee. And so all of them don't have commitment fees. Some do, some don't. But we are asking that if a student commits early, we get them registered, that commitment fee goes towards their tuition, so we don't keep that.
So that makes they sense. Apply, and if we say yes, you can attend, that's when they pay the commitment.
Yes, and so it's really that down payment saying I'm committed to going to Chicago State. You know, you apply to four or five colleges, many of them do, so we have a long list of students who have been admitted, but that doesn't mean that they're coming, and we don't know, you know, if they're coming. We reserve a seat all the way through August, and so we're trying to reduce that time.
I have a question.
Yes.
So, and I agree with this resolution, but how do you anticipate getting the word out? The culture is they don't commit until August. You may lose a sizable number of students if they're not aware of this early on. So how do you do that?
Right now we have a phone campaign going on, so our admissions team and our outreach team are actively, and the departments, I'm sorry, are actively calling students and encouraging them to take place. We have something called Cougar Start U, mm-hmm. and that's the orientation or registration, early registration process for new freshmen and transfer students. And it we do that throughout the summer. And so, and we're sending letters. So when you're admitted, we send this information right away about committing to the university early. Right now we don't have the fee involved, but once this passes, we will send something out to them. We have email addresses and information to get to them there in a timely way.
Just to highlight what the vice president stated, when she said, and we have the departments who make calls. That is totally different than what we've used to do. You know, 90% of it was dependent upon the Office of Admissions. Now we are getting our different colleges and our different departments involved in the actual recruitment of not just the general students, but more specifically students in the department. So like if you're in the College of Nursing, if you're in MOT, you are now going to recruit your students for your department. Now you will also get students who come into general admissions, but it will no longer be you will just be sitting there waiting to see what students are going to come to your department. So we are more surgically and more strategically going after students using one of the best personnel to put forward, and that is our students and our faculty. Who better knows than the students and the faculty of how to convince someone to come to major in a different program?
Can I ask you that? Will admissions continue to accept or enroll those students who appear in August?
Yes, we will. We're okay. Just trying to reduce the numbers.
I think that's an. I'm sorry if that's an obvious question, but I.
No, it's important because we still take care of the students who might not have gotten accepted at the university of their choice, or something changed. They didn't get the monies that they thought they would receive, but we're trying to shift those numbers to early registration versus walking in August. But we'll be prepared to admit them on the spot if they meet the criteria and help them to get prepared to be in class.
That's good to hear. Thank you.
Yes.
The problems that we have that results from students walking in August for the first time are just tremendous when it comes to attrition. Those are the students who you lose first, all right? So the problems we have with the various audit findings that you see, you will find each year two or three audit findings directly related to a student who walked in on August 15th. So this is going to help address a lot of logistical problems that have been embedded in the university for decades. So this is a complete culture paradigm change.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you.
Any other questions or comment? Do I have a motion to approve the commitment fee resolution?
So moved.
Second.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Curtin?
Yes.
Trustee Leak?
Yes.
Trustee Smith?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Sanchez?
Yes.
And then finally, just a couple of quick comments. Wanted to apprise the board on a couple of key initiatives that administration finance is in the process of pursuing. The decision has been made to pursue a dining vendor to provide dining services to the university. I'm happy to report on Wednesday we had a mandatory pre-bid meeting where we had very strong representation from the dining services community. The majority of the what are commonly referred to as major players did sign up for the pre-bid meeting, so we are very optimistic that we will have a very strong number of proposals to sort through and to help us craft strategies on how we elevate our dining services game going forward. And then finally, we are continuing to collaborate with Follett Communications. They handle our bookstore. One of the ways that we can benefit from that relationship is to enhance the opportunities that Follett has to grow revenue. And so one of the things that we just recently did was to create an opportunity for them within the flow of commencement and allow individuals who are coming into the Jones Convocation Center to actually see CSU paraphernalia, other various opportunities to, you know, purchase, you know, trinkets or things from the day that will help remember the experience. And this sounds like a little thing, but it really goes a long way when you talk about trying to expand the CSU brand and hopefully create opportunities for growing revenue, which translate into growing commissions to the university. This concludes my report from Financial Services. Are there any questions?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Clough?
Good morning, trustees, Mr. President, and congratulations to the nominees this morning. My name is Ken Clough. I'm the Chief Internal Auditor for the record. I'd like to address your attention to page 2 of my report. I'd like to begin by informing you that we issued a report on the financial close process. This was a mandated review based on Senate Bill 3794 that passed in August of this year. We were required to look at the preparation of financial reports, the controls and the process, as well as the preparation of a GAAP package. We're also required to do this now on an annual basis. This was come about not only from Senate Bill 3794, but the state is beginning to look at the various processes at all the state agencies regarding financial reporting at this point. So it's something that is high on their radar screen. Just this past week, we issued another report for the IT Disaster Recovery Plan audit that was in conjunction with IT. It was an evaluation of their testing of the disaster recovery plan and the actual plan itself. We are currently engaged in a number of audits right now in various different stages of completion. One of them is Data Security on State Computers Act. I expect that report to actually be issued next week. Ad Astra, property control, web time entry, and payroll. Payroll we're about 25% complete with, and we expect to have that completed by the end of this fiscal year, which will be June 30th. We also have two more audits that we are starting. One is in athletics that we hope to begin within the next week or two. It's dependent upon availability of my staff.